offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Gonna sit tight for a minute. You don't mind that, do you, Josh?
No, I made him shut the door.
Oh,
he made us.
Shut him out.
Trevor made Josh actually, get up and go close the
actually,
door.
Actually, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim did.
Tim made me do it because I made a. Well,
no,
I would.
I just told him the rule: the last guy in the studio shuts the door. Standard rule.
Well, Josh is gonna have plenty of time today because. I'm handling the Johnny Londo segment because he's busy. But now with his contribution to the Burke segment, here is the one and only man who wears many hats, Tim Woodburn. Tim?
Thank you, Frank.
Whoa! Whoa.
Wow.
You're a world.
Listen to that crowd.
I like you today.
Wow.
So last Friday was my father's military funeral, Jefferson Barracks. And there was something that went down during that whole event that I'm so aggravated about that I didn't even get like sad and upset when they played the task because of something that happened right before that.
Was he cremated?
He was. Yeah, he was cremated out in Santa Fe, but then all of his kids and his all three of his wives were at the funeral. I thought that was pretty cool. And so when I went and did a site check at JB on Tuesday, I walked into the information center. There's a guy sitting there like the Maytag repairman. There's not a car in the parking lot. He's sitting there. I think I woke him up. And I said, so where do we all meet, or what pavilion are we going to be at on Friday? He's like, well, we don't sign that until the day before. He said, but just have everybody, you know, meet here in the administration office, have them park behind the building, and then when you get here, just wait, you know, let us know when you're all here and you're all ready, and we'll caravan you up there. I'm like, okay, fine. Sounds good. So I send that text out to everybody. So Friday rolls around, and we're setting up the memorial for him on the other side of JB Park, and I go down the road where this administration building is, and I mean, it is like a World Series game. There are cars bumper to bumper from the top of the hill all the way to the bottom, almost all the way out to Telegraph Road. And I'm like, oh my God, are all these people here for his funeral? And I realized that they're not, that there's other funerals going on that day. I didn't know how many funerals they were going to be going through this day, JB Park. I found out later they rolled 32 funerals through there in one day.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Man, it's like one right after the other, too.
Well, I couldn't believe that because when I was there on Tuesday, there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And these go all day long. So I ended up playing along with my buddy. I got in my car and ended up directing cars that were there for his funeral to like this auxiliary parking lot. And people are getting out. What's going on? I'm like, well, just go over to the administration building and meet. And, you know, and I'm telling cars where to park, and I'm kind of sweating. I'm getting aggravated, and all these processions are moving along real slow. And then my siblings are setting up the memorial way over on the other side of the park at the pavilion that we rented on the way other side of the park. Well, it's 5 to 1, and the funeral's supposed to be at 1 o'clock. And so I'm standing there, and all of a sudden people are coming running and yelling at me going, they call me Woody. They're like, Woody, we got to get going. Let's
whoa,
go.
Whoa, whoa,
let's
whoa,
go.
Whoa, hang on here. I don't believe we've ever known about this. Uh-uh. Who calls you Woody?
You know what? My dad was known as Woody, so he was Big Woody and Little Woody. It's just his friends.
Little Woody. Yeah.
Who had the Big Wood, you or your dad?
Well, he was senior, so he was Big Wood. He was 6'5".
So you're Little Wood.
I'm Little Woody. Yeah. So, all of a sudden, this goes from a, hey, just let us know when you're all here, and we'll get you guys up there, to, hey, Woody, this procession's leaving. Well, you need to get people going. They're leaving now. And I'm like, you've got to be, because my siblings aren't there. I don't think the widow's there. I think they're over on the other side of the park setting up, and I'm starting to freak out and get a little aggravated. We get in this caravan. We got to bust around this other caravan that had showed up for another funeral that was like at 1:10, and ours is at 1:15. All the cars, they don't have a single traffic coordinator in this whole park for 32 funerals. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
And so our caravan continues, you know, down the hill, over the river, through the woods, right turn. We're in Pavilion 2, and my sister calls me because she goes, where is everybody? I'm like, we're all here at the pavilion. They're getting ready to roll. Where are you? She's like, why did you leave without us? You know, and she's getting all upset, and she's with her mom. I'm like, hey, listen, this was beyond my control. As I walk up the hill, this guy who represents JB, I mean, the gunners are there, the flag folders are there, everybody's there, and they're getting ready to start this thing, and I got another family member who's kind of getting loud and getting in this guy's face. Like, you can't do this. The kids aren't here. He's like, hey, I got 32 of these to go through today. We got to get going. This is we're on a tight schedule. There was almost a fight that broke out on what's supposed to be the serene, solemn day. Oh. And so I get up
this
there.
This sure doesn't sound like you.
I know. Tell me about it. And, well, I walked into this, you know, but then once I realized what I was walking into, I'm like, I got 15 feet from this guy. I said, hey, man, I said, you cannot start this until these people get here. I said, this is going to get bad. You can't do this. And he rolls his eyes at me and gets his walkie-talkie out, and he's like, some of the decedent's children are a little late, so we're going to have to hold up the next one by 5 minutes. Like we're really inconveniencing this guy. And also, here comes three of my siblings, one of my dad's ex-wives, and both of his grandkids, like, with this look of panic, running up the hill like they're going to miss it. So we all get there, like, literally sit down on the bench. Immediately, this starts. You know, they do the gun salute. They play the tap, and the taps is playing. And I'm supposed to be sad. I was so mad and so angry about what had just gone down that, like, when the taps played, I didn't cry. I didn't shed a tear. I was so mad and aggravated and frustrated about the lack of organization that went down. Now, the ceremony itself was very nice, you know, and it was very respectful, and they said nice things to my stepmother, his widow, and, you know, folded the flag and gave it to her and gave her the letter of accommodation and the bullets from the guns and everything. But the coordination and the organization leading up to that, I tell you, it left, and it wasn't just me, it left a really, really bad taste in my mouth about how that went down. And it was disappointing, because this is a day that's supposed to be, you know, solemn and serene, and instead it turns into aggravating and unnecessary, I guess, is what I want to say about
and
that.
And after all that, you know, when I walk away from, not that's figure of speech, walk away from, remembering more than anything else is your dad had three wives.
He did. And they all showed up.
Big, wow.
Big Woody.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did he wear them out, or was he Little Woody? Is that why they left? Because he was actually Little Woody.
Frank, one of them is my mother, who's still alive, who listens to this show.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, you got to be careful.
You want to edit that out?
Yeah. You know what? That's a good idea. Limey, edit that out, will you?
Radio edit.
Okay.
There we go.
30 a day.
32 they went through, and the place was hopping, I'll tell you what. And so I guess my word of advice is, if you schedule a funeral at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery, you got to keep in mind, I think it's the only national cemetery in the central time zone. So anybody, I was thinking 32 veterans in St. Louis died and all scheduled a funeral on the same day. Then I realized these people come in from all the states that border Missouri and elsewhere in the Midwest.
Is that the only cemetery available for that?
I'll look it up. I think it's the only one in the central time zone, or if it's not, there's not more than a couple.
So as a veteran, he gets a plot? I mean, it's all...
He does, yeah. He gets a headstone, he gets a plot, you know, they gave him the whole 21-gun salute, they played the taps, they unfolded the flag, refolded the flag. They made a couple of statements to my stepmother, and those were serene, and that was really a beautiful part of it. I mean, the ceremony itself, don't get me wrong, it was an A+. Once it got started and we sat there, it was an A+. Getting to get there, honestly, it was a D-, borderline F.
I think generally the wife also gets a plot there as well.
I believe she does. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what? Good, because there's a lot of other stuff where they get slighted, and we don't do nearly enough. So at least in of course, once it's over, they finally decide to do it right. Because I think sometimes these guys are the older World War II vets. I think they get screwed. I just do.
This could have all been prevented if the guy who and was the same guy at the information station there on Friday as was there on Tuesday when I walked in. If this guy would have been trained and coordinated to tell anybody that walks in asking about a funeral, hey, how's this going to go down? You better be ready to go at 1 o'clock, because this thing's leaving at 1 o'clock on the button. And if anybody's late, you know, you need to tell them, be here early, because this thing's going off at 1 o'clock. But instead, this guy goes, yeah, just let us know when y'all are here, and then, you know, assign somebody to let us know, and we'll just take you guys on up there. And, you know, so we're thinking it's a soft 1 o'clock.
Sounds very casual.
It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't. It was a very hard 1 o'clock, and it was a horrible, horrible communication by that man's part to me, and it almost caused a disaster.
How old was your dad?
He died 3 weeks before his 70th birthday.
Oh. And what killed him again?
Lung cancer.
Wow. Was it a smoker?
Death to diagnosis was less than 5 months.
Wow.
Whoa.
Diagnosis to death, I should say, was less than 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? That sure beats the heck out of lingering in some hospice nursing whatever mm-hmm. for 5 years.
No doubt.
I'll take that any day. Thank you for sharing that with everybody. I didn't realize they did that many. Man, 32 in a day. Anybody else have anything? Anything else?
No.
Burke Chugman? No? Burke Chugman is officially... Boy, your dad died young.
Yeah.
He was young.
He did. I'll tell you, some of his wives and some of his brothers and siblings started... And he had told me a couple of his wartime stories at the end. But to think of the things that he saw and experienced as a 19-year-old man, and then to come back here and then try and live a normal life after that, yeah. That's really why I'm a big believer in PTSD and the treatment of it, because these people are traumatized when they come back after seeing what they see. I don't care if you're 19 or 29, how tough you think you are, you're not prepared to see what you're about to see when you go to war.
There's no way to. And I'm not trying to be. Look, the only way you could prepare a 19-year-old, 20, 21-year-old in training or basic training or anything prior to being sent off to war is you just have to actually kill people in front of them. You absolutely have no clue what you're about to face. You just don't. And I also believe in PTSD. This is not one of these made-up things. It's real, and you're only human. In fact, I don't think you are human if that stuff didn't bother you. How could it not stick with you the rest of your life? And this actually happened in many, many cases where there's a fellow soldier. This guy's your friend. You became friends in the service. And he's begging you to shoot him because he's lying there with his legs blown off and he's in such agony. And, folks, it happens all the time.
I mean, think about
it's mercy killing.
Think about how immature we all were on this show at 19.
Yes.
And like one of the stories that somebody told me at his funeral was that, and I actually didn't know this, one of his jobs in Vietnam was after there was a firefight that was over, his job was to go around the field and to put one in the head of everybody that was there to make sure they were gone. And there was guys that were faking it in the field, and when they realized that there was somebody out there doing that, they would jump up and try and run for their wives, and he'd have to take them out too. You know, and to experience that as a 19-year-old and then to come back and, oh, no, I'm just going to raise a family and raise kids and I'm just going to act like everything's been hunky-dory fine my entire life.
Let's have a barbecue.
It's unbelievable.
No, I get it. I do get it. And to have to shoot one of your own, and this is not talked about a lot or portrayed a lot in the movies, but, folks, it happened, and it happened a lot. And I would beg one of my fellow soldiers to put me out of my misery. If I'm lying there looking down, and my legs are gone, and my guts are hanging out, and I'm in just such extreme pain, and I'm filthy, please, because there's no good ending to this. It's going to end either you put a bullet in my head and end it now, or I'm just going to be in excruciating pain for who knows. Just get it over with.
I will.
They don't talk about. But how can that not affect you for the rest of your life?
And I know this is a fun, entertaining show. We talked about hate crimes the whole first hour and talk about this. But I will tell you one funny thing, and then I'll be done. One of the funny things about what went down was a couple of people that got up and spoke at his memorial said, Tim wouldn't have liked us all sitting around here today talking about him and getting all upset and teary-eyed. And my siblings and I afterward were like, oh, he most certainly would have. He absolutely. If he would have been there, he'd be like, "Well, that's the only tears you got. You ain't got better tears than that for me. Are you kidding
me?
That's all I meant to you. Come on."
Yeah.
So that we had a big laugh about that, about how he most absolutely would have loved us sitting around talking stories about him.
Well, I think and I don't remember a lot, but it did stick with me the day that you told me that I very possibly bought a car from your dad.
Right.
I mean, and he was part of the transaction when I bought a car. Mm-hmm. Of course, that could be the case with about 500 people. I bought so many cars because I have a disease. But I'd like to think that, and it probably did happen, because when you told me the dealership, and at that time I did have a relationship and I had bought a couple of cars there, I probably bought a car from your dad. I'm glad I did.
Yep.
Great. Thank you for that. Anybody else for the Burke segment? No?
Nope.
Shut her down.
We already did that.
No, shut it again.
All right.
That's all right. Because we kind of reopened it when we allowed, you know, Tim to come back in here. Maestro, if you would, please, Mr. Bauman's...
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you don't need someone.
Help. Well, our not so new anymore, every week that goes by, he's not really new. He becomes just part of the team, and he is. His name is Josh Bauman, and he has a new email address that you can use to you know, shoot him an email if you got something driving you nuts in the world of technology. And don't we all? Isn't there something every day that just is frustrating and you need an answer to? So he's going to have some hot new tech news, take some calls, give you his email address. You need to know that Josh Bauman is brought to you by... One of our, I don't know how to say this, my goodness, are we grateful for Window World, because they make so many segments possible, and then they also participate in helping keep this broadcast on the air. There are a lot of reasons Window World is the number one selling replacement window in the country, and you're going to find out what some of those reasons are. And what you're really going to find out is that it's a fabulous value. It's a lot of window for the money. You want to know more? WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Give it up for Josh Bauman, everybody.
Afternoon, everybody.
Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. The weather is beautiful, and it's a really nice day out there.
I started writing a song earlier. The weather outside's not frightful. It's actually so delightful. That's as far as I go.
That's pretty good.
Thank you, everybody.
I have to say, Frank, your in-studio band does an amazing job with that intro music.
Oh, yeah.
They do great.
They never mess up. They never mess up. So tell everybody, you just moments ago established a new email address so that people can email you for technical help. Tell them what that is.
That email address is joshtechadvice@gmail.com.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
joshtechadvice@gmail.com. Before you share whatever you have with us, I just made a little note here to myself because I read this morning in USA Today. The new Apple XR phone is a little cheaper than some of the other phones, and the reason is it doesn't have that second camera. Now, I don't know about Androids. Dan, you're an Android guy?
No, I have an iPhone.
I'm an Android guy.
So you have two cameras, one where you can, you know, it's right there on the screen. You can look at yourself and see. Well, this help me out if I'm wrong here, Josh, but this XR, one of the reasons it's not as expensive is it only has the one camera. And I have to tell you something, that makes sense to me because I think there are a lot of people who never use the second camera, the one that's looking at you while you're looking at the phone.
I think you might be slightly incorrect, Frank.
Wrong.
Not to say you're wrong, but
no, I've been wrong before.
I think that
it said in the article no second camera.
Well, the second camera doesn't the iPhone have, the newer iPhones have two cameras on the rear of the phone, and that may be what they're talking about. They removed one of those second rear cameras.
Here I'm looking at my
rear camera.
I see one camera. Well, it's got three sort of lenses.
Yeah, I think there's two cameras and a flash on the back of the newer iPhones.
Right. No, you're right. I'm looking
at it now. So one of those cameras, it sounds like they removed one of those cameras. I've also heard, I read an article over the weekend that the battery in that iPhone XR is supposed to outlast the newer 10 batteries as well. So I guess removing that camera made a big difference in power consumption as well, which is kind of strange because the camera's not always running. That's what I don't understand.
I would think it'd only make a difference if you're not taking pictures.
Right. Well, if you're using your camera a lot or taking a lot of videos, that might make sense. But I don't, just to remove the camera and then increase battery life that much out of the box is kind of strange. Speaking about the second camera though, Frank, I know you don't like Facebook, or you're not on Facebook a whole lot.
No, that's not true. That's not true. It's not that I don't like Facebook. Our show has a Facebook page, and I'm glad it does. And I'm real bad about contributing to it, like putting up a new video or posting something. I'm just bad about it. I like Facebook a lot, but my problem with Facebook is I think it has become a forum for people to brag or to hate. That's what I don't like about it. I think it's got, you know, it's got its good points. I don't get people who post on a regular basis, "Ooh, look where we had lunch," or "Look what my son got me for Christmas." I don't like that. I think it's It's not harmful, but it can be.
No, and I agree.
Because it can also be used to shoot out some really negative, nasty things about people and hurt people.
One of the cool features that I saw this last weekend on new features on Facebook is a 3D photo. I don't know if anybody has seen that yet, but it's apparently right now. And it's funny you mentioned this second camera, because it's only available on the iPhones that have the second camera on them. It somehow takes a picture using both of those cameras, and the way it uploads it and the way Facebook displays it, you know how on their 360 photos you can scroll around the camera and look like all directions as you scroll?
Right.
Well, this 3D photo, it kind of does the same thing. You look at the picture at a different angle as you scroll, and it almost does look 3D on your screen. It's pretty wild. So
you have to be close to it for it to look like that, or hold it far away?
No, I was looking on a laptop screen and a desktop screen, two different devices, and I was, you know, your normal 2 to 3 feet away from the screen. It wasn't like I was up on it or anything. But it is definitely a different look to a photo. It, keep an eye out for that. I think you're going to be seeing more and more of those as people see that that's an
surprised.
Option.
I am really surprised that we have not, I would have thought this would have happened 5 or 10 years ago, found a way to do real 3D photos. You remember as a kid, the ViewMaster? Everybody remembers that.
Yeah.
You're like a little pair of binoculars, and you hold that thing up. And I remember as a kid, like 5 years old, going, wow, it's like I'm walking through the forest, and the trees are, it's 3D. And that was a long time ago. I still can't believe we haven't found a way to make that possible when you're looking at pictures on your phone. Like, you could walk right into them. We haven't.
I think what you may see instead of a 3D picture now will be holographic or hologram type displays. I the way technology is changing and that stuff changes so quickly and new innovation happens, I look for something completely outside the box to take the place of that 3D photo.
Oh, man. Roy Orbison's son has a tour going on of Roy Orbison now.
Yeah, well, they did that with Snoop several years ago. They had
Didn't
Snoop
they do it
on
with
stage.
Elvis? They did it with Elvis.
I don't know.
I think they did a tour. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, essentially the image is projected on the stage. And by the way, Dan, I read an interview with Orbison's kid. He said when his dad, when the show started and he looked up and saw his dad standing on stage, he started crying. It looked just like his dad was alive.
No, it's weird.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That I remember when that Snoop concert happened and they did his hologram for that first time. It was groundbreaking. It was pretty darn cool. So some of the content that I have for you guys today, some of the things that I found over the weekend, the new Apple is having an event, I believe, tomorrow to introduce their new version of the iPad and new version of the MacBook Air. The big rumor coming with the new iPad is the new iPad Pro. They're going to offer two new sizes, one of them being an 11-inch size. And that
hang on, let me give people an idea.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what you're talking about. That's a nice screen.
I'll take your word for that, Frank. They're bringing Face ID to the iPad, which Frank, you had mentioned that a couple weeks ago about how that was pretty secure and it worked flawless. You hold your phone.
Oh man, I got it on my iPhone 10, and I'm still blown away by it. Folks, I can go in a room and turn all the lights out. It's pitch black. Hold my phone up to my face, and it reads my face. You can hand the phone in that same dark room to 3 other people, 10 other people. It will not unlock the phone. It's impressive.
So yeah, they're going to be bringing that to the iPad, the new iPad Pro. I would mysteriously or how it would work out. I would imagine those to be released right before Christmas, just in time for the Christmas season. Something else to look forward to. This has a release date of early November. Sony is releasing a mini console, much like Nintendo did. They released the mini Super Nintendo or the mini Nintendo last year or year before. Came preloaded.
Get that? I want that.
Yeah, and that was relatively cheap, right? It was, I think, $60, $80, somewhere around there.
Right.
This PlayStation version is going to be right at $100, which I think is starting to get to that almost too much for a retro device that you can only play a certain number of devices or games on. I think they're releasing with 20 to 24 games. They're saying, release date's December 3rd, not November. Final Fantasy will be on there, Metal Gear Solid, Resident Evil, Twisted Metal, some of the games like that. So yeah, if you're into that original PlayStation game console, look for that to come in early December, just in time for Christmas.
I will say this to baby boomers. I went over to my son's house last week and I sat with my grandson and played Mario Brothers, the original.
It's a blast.
Let me tell you something. It was like I was in a time machine, because my boys and I, we spent so many hours playing Mario, and here I am sitting with my grandson. It was like I traveled back in time. It was so much fun, bumping up and making coins pop out and breaking bricks with your head and jumping over turtles and stuff, and it was the same game. And I would, in fact, if my kids are listening, or anybody listening, listeners, because I know listeners right now are starting to wonder, what can I get Frank for Christmas? I'll take that Nintendo thing, that new sort of just plug-and-play deal.
Yeah, the console. Plug,
boom, you're good to go. Yeah.
Have you played with the Nintendo Switch, Frank, at all?
No.
It's pretty cool. We got one last year for Christmas. It was one of Jackson's Christmas presents. And
by the way, I love that name. That's your son, Jackson?
Yeah,
great name. You don't call him Jack. You call him Jackson.
No, he made it very clear early on in his life that Jack is not his name. His name is Jackson.
Good for him. That's a great name.
He was like 3 when he said that to somebody. But yeah, they're actually here today, so they're seeing me in action.
He's being good, by the way.
Yeah.
Outside.
So this Nintendo Switch, it came out over a year ago, but it's got a built-in about 6-inch display, and the controllers are built onto the device.
Show everybody just take this and divide it in half right here, 6 inches. Cut that in half, you got 6 inches.
Cut
right
it in half. Wow.
Half of that, yeah. That would hurt. Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop referencing sizes when I bring material. But anyway, I did it. How many weeks? I went, what,
you
4 weeks?
That's
man.
Not enough. You
poor dude.
Man.
Poor guy.
How embarrassing for your son.
Poor little guy.
I know, right?
Here's dad screw up in person.
Rookie.
Little guy.
Thanks, Tim. You can play those older, they've started releasing those older games for the Switch as well, Frank. So that might be something you could look at if you wanted another console.
I only care about in terms of old games. Pac-Man, not Ms. Pac-Man. Why was that necessary? Ms., was that a feminist thing?
Gender equality.
Pac-Man.
Huh? Gender equality.
Yeah, you got to do. You got to do Ms. Pac-Man. Pac-Man and Mario Brothers, and maybe throw Duck Hunt in there. And that's it. I'm good. I'm good to go. I didn't play Donkey Kong. I didn't play Space Invader. There's a lot of them I didn't play. And you tend to, you know, it's no different than music. The music you listened to and liked in high school, you kind of always like that music. It takes you back to my senior year. That's how I feel about these video games. Give me Duck Hunt, Mario Brothers, Pac-Man. I'm good to go.
Do you remember last week, I don't know if you remember or not, but I made a joke about rebooting something, taking care of 90% of the issues, like you reboot your computer. Well, apparently they had to reboot part of the Hubble telescope this weekend, and it solved the problem they were having.
Whoa.
Yeah, there was a gyroscope on the Hubble telescope that wasn't functioning, wasn't allowing the telescope to move part of its one of its pieces right. And they tried a bunch of different things, and they thought, well, I guess we could try rebooting it. So the material, the press release from NASA said they turned it off, left it off for a second, and turned it back on, and it solved the problem. So here's to rebooting your device, and it's solving issues.
Excuse me while I do this, but this sort of ties in because it's technical. Gino, our engineer, I have these sourdough pretzel niblets, and I like to chew them on the air, but they crunch and they make a noise. So he installed an EPCS, electronic pretzel chewing suppressor, and I just want to make sure it works, because I don't want to do this, you know, while you're talking and screw up a segment. So here, hang on.
I see your mouth moving, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't hear anything, and I'm sitting right next to you.
Thank you, Gino. Wow, mission accomplished. What a success. Good. I know. Good to know I can do that, and you can keep talking. So go ahead.
All right. Have you guys heard about the Amazon store in Seattle that doesn't have cash registers and really doesn't have typical checkouts?
Yes,
I've heard about that.
Yes,
Walmart is doing the same thing. There's apparently a Sam's Club in Dallas, Texas that they're getting ready to open. It's construction's complete. They're stocking the store. It's getting ready to open. They are doing the same thing. So you walk into this Sam's Club. You open up your Sam's Club app. As you put things in your cart, you scan them with your phone and your app. When you're done, you walk up to the front of the store. They said an employee will give you a cursory once over to make sure you're not, I guess, shoplifting anything. And away you go. You pay through the app and everything. So this is, you could look for more and more stores. I guess they could roll that out to regular Walmarts. And you could see Target doing something similar. You talk about a change, a shift in retail. That's a pretty drastic change.
Well, I'm behind a guy at McDonald's the other day. I'm in the car, and the car in front of me, and like, I know this has probably been around a year, and I'm slow to catch on to stuff. He just holds his phone up to the drive-thru thing, and boop, that's it.
Yeah, their app is great.
Picks up his food and goes, is it?
If you don't have the app, Frank, that McDonald's app, they run specials in that app where you can get like a, I don't know, 99-cent frappe or stuff like that. But they constantly
What's the app called? Just McDonald's?
It's the McDonald's app, yeah. You configure it. You put your credit card information in there. I've done it before.
I'm going to do that. I'm tired of handing me change. I don't have I don't have a penny.
Here's something else that's really cool about it, Frank. I've done this. I don't know how many times. I'll be in the office. I'm like, it's time for lunch. I'll open up the McDonald's app. I'll tell them I want a quarter pounder, but I want an extra slice of cheese and to make it a meal. And by the time I get to my local McDonald's, I pull into one of their reserved order-to-go mobile app parking spots. I open the app back up and tell them what parking spot I'm in, and they bring my order out to me. I don't have to sit in the drive-thru lane or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, who wants to sit in the drive-thru lane for a minute?
Well, no. You can waste a lot more time in the drive-thru lane. But, yeah, you can either go through the drive-thru lane and pay with your phone like that, or you can drive up to and park in one of the reserved mobile ordering spots, and they'll bring your order out to you. I've used it several times. It's pretty nice.
We're going to get to the point where if your phone is in your pocket, I think, honest to goodness, it'll know you're in Costco or wherever.
Oh, sure.
And you'll just walk out. You'll just walk through this detector and take your stuff and go.
And I think
you don't even have to hold the phone up anymore.
I think that's how the Amazon cashierless store kind of works. They have turnstiles at the front of the store. You have to open up your Amazon app. You put in the code so that you can enter. And once you enter that store, the app helps Amazon track you around the store and figure out what you're picking up. It's pretty interesting. Let's see. Something else I have.
While you think of what you want, let me give you the numbers.
Sure. Here,
just in case somebody has an issue. 314-821-0590. I'll do that again slower. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. If you need some help from Josh here, go ahead, Josh.
Sure. So a nice surprise over the weekend, Google Play Movies, that's the service that Google has that sells movies, and you can stream the movies from this service. They announced that they were going to upgrade movies for free to 4K. So I had like 12 movies in my library that I had purchased at one time or another that got upgraded to 4K quality just for free when I logged in the next time. They said, congratulations, you have 12 movies.
But they can't be true 4K.
Well, so it's going to depend on what you're watching it on, obviously. Whatever you're streaming it to would have to support fake 4K. I think that's pretty big that they would do that for free. Because normally you can
be shot that way. After the fact colorization of an old movie.
Correct.
Or 3D. Or does anybody remember this? You would, let's say a Beatles record would be released and then they make it stereo. Dan, you'll know what I'm talking about. So you're in your car, and the guitar's on the left speaker, and the singing's on the right, and it doesn't even sound. It sounds weird. It's too split.
Well, they're trying to take a 1980s movie and try and make it HD. That doesn't work either. These were movies that had a 4K movie available to them that they upgraded for free, which I thought was awfully nice of Google.
Would you like to take a couple of calls?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because we have them here. Let's go Patrick. Let's take Patrick first. Patrick, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Good morning, Josh.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
It's afternoon. Patrick, it's afternoon.
Oh. Well, I'm aiming the PM.
Thank you.
So I already go to Sam's wholesale clubs here in the St. Louis area, and there's an app called Scan and Go. And you can scan the items. You have to manually scan them. It's not going to be like the Amazon store where you just take them and put them in your cart. But you scan the items, and you know, you have to set up your account, of course. But once you scan them, you can pay for it, and you go up to the door, and you show them the barcode. They hit it with their scanner. They kind of look at your cart, and you're on your way.
No kidding. You don't have to stand in the checkout line?
Nope. I haven't done it for probably 2 months now.
Wow.
I go to the one in St. Peter's, and also visit the one in West Florida.
I had no clue. And I read this article, they made it sound like the one in Dallas was like their first. Maybe it's the first one from ground up. Maybe that's what they were saying. I had no clue that was an option.
Or it's like Amazon where they don't have to actually scan anything. They just have their phone, and somehow it picks up, you know, through radio frequency or whatever.
Right.
Because that's what the Amazon store, supposedly you can just pick something off the cart or off the shelf, put it in your cart, and it will bring it up for you. You don't have to scan it or anything.
Yeah, they're supposedly with RFID tags and stuff like that. That's what
But right now, I mean, we probably save at least 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh
scanning as we put it in the cart, and I just laugh all the way through the door, laughing at all people standing in line.
Yeah, that's definitely a time saver.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, well, thank you for the call. Thank you. No, you called us. Thank you. Real quickly before we get the other calls, does anybody else find that it seems like you're traveling back in time when you still occasionally get behind somebody at checkout, and it's usually an old lady writing a check?
It always happens at Walgreens. At Walgreens, they'll be...
It happened to me yesterday. And you know, and here's the deal. They go, okay, it'll be $14.87, and then she has to rummage through her purse, and she gets the checkbook out, and then she opens it, she writes the check, and then she tears the check off, and then has to fill out the stub.
Yeah.
You know, balancing. Oh my goodness! I just go, hey, I didn't want to go. Hey, it's 2018, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Yesterday we were at a winery, and the lady in front of me was digging for a nickel, so she could pay with exact. And I'm like, serious lady, just put the nickel on my tab. I'll pay for it.
Right.
Night.
No kidding.
The worst is at Walgreens when you have an old person checking out with a checkbook, and then the cashier is also an old age pensioner. So then you have just these two slowest moving people in existence.
Just sounds to me like you just let the world know that you hate old people.
Yeah.
I don't hate old people. I am prejudiced against old people.
A senior hater.
There you go.
Senior hater.
I'm a senior racist.
Let's go to Patrick here.
We already did Patrick.
We did? Well, his name should be off the screen then.
I thought
it was another Patrick. How about Mike? Let's go with Mike. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Josh Bauman.
Hi, Josh Bauman. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Doing well. I am AM and the PM.
Thank you.
I do have two questions, if you would be so courteous to answer to.
I'll try my best.
The first one is there a mechanism you can purchase that you can download 8mm film to, like, a hard drive or to the cloud?
Sure, a converter. There are products out there that can do that. Your best bet is going to be probably searching on Amazon for those, and just search strictly for 8mm to electronic or 8mm to hard drive conversion. You'll come back. I would pay really close attention to reviews and star ratings. Make sure you're getting something that has a large number of ratings and a relatively high rating, because I tried that before with converting old slides, film negatives to digital photos, and that's something that you're likely going to want to spend a few bucks for, if you're going to own it, to do it right and have the quality turn out right.
First of all, people who may not know, Mike, I think most of us who are baby boomers know there are only two things that you could possibly have on 8mm. One would be like family footage. No, hold on. Yeah. Family footage. If your dad was rich, because only rich people had 8mm movie cameras, or porn.
It's porn.
Are you trying to? I think it's porn. I'm going to go with porn.
From 30 years ago.
You got some classic 70s porn. There you go. That's the good stuff.
Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you can't find that online.
Every woman looked like she was crouched behind a hedge.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Behind a porn.
What else do you have?
The second thing I have is around casting from one TV to another. So I know you can cast from your phone to, like, Chrome devices or onto your Apple TV, but can you cast from, like, a one to two TVs, you know, from one TV to another TV? Do you know of any device?
So I assume you're meaning in different rooms or different locations, not next to each other?
Right. So you wouldn't have to run a cable. Yeah. It would all be...
I have not seen that. If there is a way to do from TV to TV, I don't know of it, because that would be you'd have to tell the TV to do that. If there is, I don't know of it, honestly.
Yeah, kind of a mirroring cast.
And that was my first thought, is if the TV's relatively close to each other, you could split that signal with two different cables or. But if they're in different, largely different locations, you're not going to want to run that cable.
Casting is when I think of mirroring on Apple TV, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, about. Casting mirroring.
But he's got a good point though. You would think, and I'm sure it's coming. Some next generation smart TV will kick the signal to another TV.
Yeah. So that traffic. Getting really nerdy here, it's called multicast traffic. So it, like, say it's originating from your phone going to two different destinations, that's called multicast traffic. And one reason you may not be seeing it at home or in a residential environment is because possibly home grade routers are not beefy enough to handle multicast traffic. Nerdy way into the weeds, but
I get you, because the bandwidth would just soak up all that. I certainly get it.
Yeah, it takes a little bit more processing power to do that.
But since you mentioned it, Mike, is that right? This is Mike I'm talking to? Since you mentioned it, Mike, for anybody, my second son is 35 years old, so I was blown away when I had to show him. He moved into a new house, and the previous owners had a projection TV system. So it's like a theater room. And I said, I bet it's fun watching your son on your home videos on your phone on the screen. He said, what? And it just mirrored. Oh, my God. Folks, if it is worth the investment in an Apple TV. What else does that?
Chromecast.
What else does that?
Chromecast, Amazon Fire
Stick. You can
watch
all your videos on your phone right on your television or your vacation pictures. It's unbelievable. It's so great and worth the investment.
If you're in that Apple ecosphere, you know, you got an iPhone or a MacBook, it's worth getting the Apple TV. That is a very cool feature. If you're in the Google ecosystem, the Chromecast does the same thing.
Yeah, it's great. It actually works real good with porn, too.
Well, we wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, thank you.
All right, gentlemen, have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You too. Can we bring Bill in here?
Yeah, let's get Bill.
Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'm going to be
Wow, that's a deep voice.
We got Sam Elliott on the phone.
I got out of the smartphone about 4 years ago because my ex-wife always knew where I was. and I just got another smartphone. Hopefully she doesn't realize that. Here's my question. I go to the Play Store.
Yeah.
And they have no prices on their apps anymore, because there's a couple apps I want to buy. And is there any way for me to contact them and ask them about how much these apps cost?
Couldn't he Google? Couldn't he just Google how much is blank?
I'm looking right now. I've got an Android phone. I'm looking right now. I'm trying to find an app that you have to pay for. You're right. All of these do say install, but I don't know if it's just because I'm lucky and keep clicking free apps. That's a strange Let me.
Yeah, that seems weird. I'm an iPhone guy, and every app has a price.
Yeah, every app. I would imagine they. That's kind of strange. I would keep looking for different apps to make sure that you're actually seeing it. And if you click on the install button before they charge your account, they're going to have to tell you how much that transaction.
Yeah, it's like a confirmation.
Yeah, they're not going to let you.
Yeah. It's like when you rent a movie. He goes, "Well, you sure you now you confirm you want to rent Silence of the Lambs for $3.99?" Yeah, at some point they got
to
show you.
When I go to movies and TV, it tells you right there underneath the movie how much it costs to buy or rent it. But you're right, in games, unless I keep clicking free apps, it just says install. That's a great question, Bill. Email me. At the new email address, joshtechadvice@gmail.com, and I'll do some digging for you on this, because that is strange. I agree, they should have to tell you what that costs before you buy it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right,
Bill, shoot him an email. Thank you for listening. I know we can work one more in here. That's going to be Kim. Kim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh.
Hello, Josh. How are you?
Good, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I am AM and PM.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a question about, obviously I have a question. Those new boxes that you can put on your television instead of cable.
Okay. You're going to have to explain a little bit more. A box you can put on your TV with cable?
No, that takes the place of cable.
Oh, yeah. So you're probably referring to a streaming device like a Roku or Amazon Fire Stick or the Apple TV, right? Okay.
Which one can give you like the most channels?
Well, so I have a feeling I know what you're referring to. Using a Fire Stick in quote-unquote a jailbroken method to get content for free. That's not something that I would recommend doing. I do think... And I'll probably have people call in and say I'm wrong, but I do believe that is against copyright law. You are consuming content for free, which would otherwise you would have to pay for that content. What I would recommend doing, what I've done at home, is I've subscribed to DirecTV Now, which is $40 a month for their entry plan, and you can stream content without having to subscribe to cable. But you are still subscribing to a service. There are three major ones out there, DirecTV Now, PlayStation View, Sling, 4, YouTube Live TV. I would, just from knowing people and things that go down, I would not recommend using the Amazon Fire Stick and the quote-unquote jailbroken method. I think that's against copyright law.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Why do they sell it if it's illegal?
Well, they don't sell it. They sell the Fire Stick, and what people are doing is they're loading a third-party application onto the Fire Stick that allows that to happen.
Yeah. Oh, cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I understand the rationale, yeah.
All right,
Kim. Is that all, Kim?
I think Kim has been dropped.
Okay. I think Kim was finished, and she's letting us know that by hanging up. Give them your new email address.
Sure. It's joshtechadvice@gmail.com.
And that will be, Dan, correct, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AM and the PM. Josh Bauman, everybody. Thank you, Josh. We'll do this again.
All right. I'm Josh.
Do this again next Monday. I'm sorry. Yeah, wrap it up. Go ahead.
I'm Josh the Tech Guy, and it's time to say bye.
I'm Josh the Tech Guy. We got to work on that. We can beat that. We can do better. For now, that'll be sufficient. There he goes. There goes Josh. He'll be back next Monday. It is my great pleasure to remind you that end of the month is a big deal if you're a car dealer, and it's certainly a big deal here for us to make sure that you know you can make or break the month at Johnny Londo Chevrolet. I don't know a lot about how this works with General Motors and then the Chevy division of General Motors, but I do know that they track very closely how much business you do in new cars and which cars you sell, and that'll determine what you're able to get. If you're moving a lot of trucks, they'll give you a lot of trucks. I think in its simplest form, that's how it works. So we'd like to wrap up October, and I can't even believe I'm saying that. Holy cow, we're 2 days away from the end of the month. Let's wrap up October, and let's be the single advertising source that does more to make this a great month than any other money they spend. Quite frankly, I would love to see the day when John Landoff decides he doesn't want to spend another dollar on newspaper or TV or any other radio station, because all he needs is you, us, AM and the PM people, and I think we're close to that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been on here for 14 years. You want a new car? You want a pre-owned car? I cannot imagine you will be treated more respectfully, better, get a better price deal than, well, anywhere than Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. And, of course, as you know, they're, well, you know, they're North County, Washington, Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, and that they're available 24/7 at Landoff.com. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. I have yet another joke we have not told since we've been here, and we've been here, wow, coming up on 13 months. In 3 more days, we'll be here 13 months, and this joke we've not told yet. It's a blonde joke. It's a good one. Don't go away. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan.